Lecture.
سید باقر القزوینی.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. صلی الله علیک یا رسول الله. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة يا غريب مظلوم كربلاء يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Holy Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. Say, I ask for no wage except the love for my family. صدق الله العلي العظيم. When we examine the complexity of Allah's creation, our hearts should be humbled. Many people, unfortunately, despite the greatness of this universe and the complexity of this life, they are arrogant. They act with arrogance. They do not heed to the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you look at the palm of your hand, what do you see? When you look at the outside appearance, you see skin, you see flesh, and that's pretty much it. But when you examine and think about the complexity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in your hand, you realize that there is an entire world beneath the skin. There are millions of cells. There is blood flowing. The blood has blood cells of all sorts of types. There are atoms, there are molecules. Every atom has protons and neutrons and electrons surrounding it. There is an entire universe that lives underneath your skin. But when you look at the outside appearance of it, you don't see that. You have to reflect in order to understand the complexity of God's creation. Yet the human being feels arrogant. We are less than a speck in this universe. When you look at the stars on a dark night, what do you see? You see small dots on the sky. However, each one of those stars, some of them, can be over 1 million times greater than the earth on which we live. Yet we are arrogant as human beings. Indeed, the universe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is amazing in every aspect. And no human mind can comprehend and grasp and fathom the greatness of the universe and the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now imagine if the physical world that we live in is so complex and amazing and vast. Imagine the metaphysical world, the spiritual world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, which is far more unlimited and far more vast than this physical universe that we see. Imagine how amazing that dimension is in our lives. On this evening, we want to discover one small aspect of the greatness of our Imam, Abi Abdullah al-Husayn salawatullahi alayhi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. There are many dimensions to the greatness of this Imam. However, one aspect of the Imam alayhi salam, there's one dimension that gives us only a small glimpse of the greatness of this man and the sacrifices which this amazing leader of God gave to humanity. And this is the secrets of his ziyarah. When you examine the ziyarah of the Imam alayhi salam, you come to realize how great this Imam is. The ziyarah of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam represents one small key to unlocking the greatness of the universe. On the outside, when you look at the ziyarah of the Imam alayhi salam, what do you see? It looks fairly simple. You see people traveling to Karbala, they go to the shrine of the Imam alayhi salam, they recite the visitation of the Imam, then they pray two rak'ahs gifted to the Imam alayhi salam, and they leave. From the outside, it looks very simple. Just like the palm of your hand, when you look at it, it looks very simple. But just like there's an entire universe that lives under the skin of your hand, there is an entire universe, respected brothers and sisters, that exists in the ziyarah of Al-Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam. And it's nothing short of astounding. When you examine the narrations of Ahlul Bayt in speaking about the ziyarah of the Imam alayhi salam, honestly, it's nothing short of impeccable. It's amazing. It's mind-boggling how there's an entire universe that revolves around the ziyarah of the Imam alayhi salam. In order for us to appreciate this ziyarah which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, let us get a quick glimpse of the greatness of Al-Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam. First of all, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, tells us in one narration, you know, some people think the origin of the Imam alayhi salam is heavenly. Yes, the origin of the Imam is heavenly in the broad sense of the word. But the existence and the presence of the light of Al-Imam al-Husayn precedes the paradise, precedes the heavens and the skies, because the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, in one hadith he says, the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created is my light. Then from my light he created his throne. Then the Prophet explains that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then split this light, and he created the light of Imam Ali alayhi salam and the light of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the light of Al-Imam al-Hasan, then the light of Al-Imam al-Husayn, and from the light of Al-Imam al-Husayn he created Jannah, the paradise. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Everything that has to do with Al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is exceptional. Because what he went through is exceptional. What happened on the day of Ashura was exceptional. What happened to those women and children was exceptional. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the amazing status that he gave Al-Imam al-Husayn is exceptional. And if you have any doubts about the origin of the Imam alayhi salam preceding paradise and heaven, just look at how the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, used to treat Al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam when he was a young boy, for you to grasp and believe how great Al-Imam al-Husayn is and what an exceptional creation of God he is. One day the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was sitting on his minbar. He was speaking to his companions. Just as I am speaking to you now, the Prophet was delivering a sermon. Al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam was a young boy. He walked into the mosque of the Prophet. Now, who narrates this hadith? Ahmad ibn Hanbal narrates this hadith. Ibn Asakir, he narrates this hadith. They tell us that when Imam al-Husayn walked into the mosque of the Prophet, he trampled over his garment. He was wearing a long garment. The Imam alayhi salam tripped and he fell on the floor. You know what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi did? He abruptly cut his sermon. He came running down from his minbar. He ran towards Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. He carried this child. He hugged him. He kissed him. Then the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, Subhanallah, I did not even feel myself coming down from my minbar. This is the greatness of the Imam alayhi salam. And this is not something which the followers of Ahlul Bayt have came up with. Ibn Hanbal mentions this in his Musnad. The Prophet says, "Wallah ma darayt anni nazaltu min mimbari." Because the sight of seeing Hussein fall on the ground distracted the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, to such an extent that he did not even continue his sermon. He just came rushing down, and then the Prophet afterwards explained to the companions, "I don't know what happened. I just rushed towards Al-Husayn alayhi salam." This is Rasulullah, and this is how he used to treat Al-Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam. Salah is the pillar of the faith, and the Prophet, peace be upon him, there was nothing more important in his life than salah. Yet when he would go to sujood, Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam would come climbing on his back. He would prolong his sujood just because he did not want to disturb Al-Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam. The Prophet, peace be upon him, even though he was a very busy man, he was running an entire community, establishing a government, yet he would spend so much time playing with Al-Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam. One narration tells us that one day Imam Al-Hasan and Hussein, peace be upon them, were playing with each other. They were wrestling. They were playing with each other. And the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, came to view them. Imagine this scene. When you consider what happened on Ashura, just remember how the Prophet used to treat his beloved grandson. The Prophet comes to view this match. Imam Al-Hasan and Hussein are playing. Fatima Zahra alayhi salam is watching. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam is watching. Now, as they are wrestling, as they are playing, the Prophet, peace be upon him, begins to encourage Imam Al-Hasan. He begins to cheer him. Fatima Zahra alayhi salam asks him, "Ya Rasulullah, how come you are cheering Hassan and he's the older one? Why are you cheering the older brother over his younger brother?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, what does he tell her? He tells her, "Fatima, don't blame me. I am seeing Jibra'il cheering Hussein. Therefore, I wanted to cheer Al-Hasan as well." Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. The way in which the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, dealt with his beloved grandson was exceptional. No one can deny that. During his final moments, as the Prophet, peace be upon him, was passing away, it's a difficult moment. Imam Al-Hasan and Hussein, peace be upon them, they come and they lie on the Prophet's chest. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salam, he comes and he wants to remove them from the Prophet's chest because the Prophet was passing away. He did not want his two sons to have any difficulty on the Prophet. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi says, "Ya Ali, please don't keep them on my chest. Let them lie on my chest. Do not remove them." And the Arab poet, what does he say in speaking to Al-Imam Al-Hussein? He says, "One day on the chest of the Holy Prophet and one day on the plains of Karbala." When you examine how the Prophet treated Al-Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam, realize his greatness. Realize that your mind can never grasp the greatness of the Imam alayhi salam. This should serve as a small window to comprehending the greatness of this man. And why is it that after 14 centuries we continue to commemorate the tragedy of this amazing Imam? Everything that has to do with Al-Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam is exceptional. Everything. For example, when you examine the river of Furat by which the Imam alayhi salam was slaughtered and massacred, the narrations of Ahlul Bayt tell us that there is no river, there is no water more blessed than the river of Furat. Drinking this water increases your love for the Imam alayhi salam and for the Ahlul Bayt. And this water has the power of healing. Another narration tells us that every night an angel descends and he takes a heavenly musk, this, you know, fragrant smell from paradise, and he pours it into the river of Furat. And you know, even historically, this river has been the most blessed river in history because this river allowed for the cradle of civilization to take place in modern Iraq. And one of the amazing aspects of this river is that it provides effortless irrigation. It's very easy to irrigate the farmlands because of the way this river is situated, because of the geology of this river, the geography of this river. Indeed, it is a blessed river, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed it in honor of Al-Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam. When you examine the soil, the grave of the Imam alayhi salam, the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed the power of healing in the soil of the Imam's grave. And this is one way in understanding the greatness of the Imam alayhi salam. One day the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was playing with Al-Imam Al-Husayn. Jibra'il descends upon him. He tells him, Ya Rasulullah, do you love Husayn? He says, yes, of course, I love Husayn. Jibra'il tells him, Ya Rasulullah, your ummah will kill Husayn. The Prophet, peace be upon him, begins to cry. The Prophet, peace be upon him, is in a state of despair. Jibra'il tells him, Ya Rasulullah, would you like me to show you the soil, the turba of Karbala on which he shall be massacred? And by the way, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he mentions and he confirms this incident in his book. This is not something which our scholars have only narrated. The Prophet said, yes, I want to see that. Jibra'il, he with the miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, allowed the Prophet to see the land of Karbala, and he took some soil from that land and he gave it to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. This is the greatness of the Imam alayhi salam. This is why the city of Karbala, the land of Karbala, is the most blessed land that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ever created. Narrations tell us that Karbala comes from paradise, and on the day of judgment, it shall return to paradise. You know, one hadith says, on the day of judgment, when the earth shall shake, when the earth rattles, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate the land of Karbala. It will illuminate, it will shine to everyone on the day of judgment. And Karbala will speak, Karbala will say that I am the blessed land. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me because I contained the body of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn salawatullahi alayhi.
Salli ala Muhammad, salli ala Muhammad, salli ala Muhammad, salli ala Muhammad, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, 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 wa ali Muhammad, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, wa ali Muhammad.
Another narration tells us that paradise has many levels. When Karbala goes back to paradise and becomes a part of paradise, only the very special believers in God are allowed to live in that land of Karbala in paradise. Allahu Akbar. What an amazing imam is Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. The most upscale part of paradise is the land of Karbala. You know, in your city you have upscale areas, right? For example, here in Toronto, what do you have? You have Lawrence Park, you have Forest Hill, you have Rosedale, right? By the way, if you're wondering, no, I haven't been to these areas. But these are very upscale areas that people who are prominent, people who are rich, they want to live in these areas. On the day of judgment in paradise, the most upscale area is the land of Karbala. Everything that has to do with Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it truly special, truly amazing. If you want to know about the greatness of Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam, see how the entire universe interacted with his martyrdom. The entire universe cries for Imam Al-Husayn. When you cry on Imam Al-Husayn, you need to realize that this is not some isolated event that you, as a human being, you're simply crying. When you cry on an Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, you are participating in a universal event. In an event that the entire universe participates in. Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, in the first ziyarah of al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam in Mafatih al-Junan, what does he say? He says, and the entire universe the earths and the seven heavens, they cried for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cried for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And let me tell you more, even the inhabitants of hell, they cried for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. According to the words of our sixth Imam of Ahlul Bayt. Now you may wonder, how is it that the people of hellfire cry for the Imam alayhi salam? First of all, it could be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows them the truth about the Imam alayhi salam. And even the most evil of the evil, when they see what happened to Imam al-Hussein and the greatness of Imam al-Hussein, they'll cry for him. Didn't Muawiyah cry on Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam when Dhirar described to him the qualities of Imam Ali to the point where Muawiyah's beard was soaked with tears? Who in history do you see their enemies cry on them like that? Other than the Ahlul Bayt of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. Even the inhabitants of hell shall cry for the Imam alayhi salam. Secondly, everything in its existence cries for the Imam, because the Holy Quran tells us everything in existence glorifies God, has a level, a degree of perception. وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِحَهُمْ. The Quran says everything in God's creation has some perception. It glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you people, you do not understand that. You do not see that. You cannot hear them glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, even the inhabitants of hell, their very existence, every cell in their body cries for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And Imam Zain al-Abidin, peace be upon him, when he stood before Yazid ibn Muawiyah in Sham, you've heard the story of his speech. And how Yazid called on the Mu'adhin to cut off the speech of Imam Zain al-Abidin. When the Mu'adhin said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, what did Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam say? The Imam alayhi salam says, not only do I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, but every cell in my body, my blood, my flesh, my hair, my bones, they all bear witness that there is no God but Allah. The existence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created cries on Imam Abi Abdullah al-Hussein for that tragedy. The skies wept blood for the tragedy of Imam al-Hussein. And those of you who might think, how is that possible? Isn't this an exaggeration to say that the skies wept blood for the Imam alayhi salam? Well, when you refer to the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Dukhan, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala state? فَمَا بَكَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّمَاءِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in speaking about the evil ones, the Pharaoh and his people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drowned them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them, then the Quran says, the skies did not weep for them. The skies did not cry for them. I ask you, if it's impossible for the skies to cry, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that the skies did not weep for the Pharaoh and his people? If it's impossible, then this would be unwise for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say in the Holy Quran. If it's impossible for the skies to cry on anyone, then why did Allah say the skies did not weep for Pharaoh and his people? We have tens of narrations from the books of our Sunni brothers that tell us when Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam was killed, the skies wept and rained blood because of what happened to the Imam alayhi salam. This is one small glimpse of the Imam, peace be upon him. When you come to the angels of God, O believers, and how they cry for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, it is nothing short of spectacular. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created 4,000 special angels that every single day of our lives, they spend it next to the grave of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. They weep and cry day and night for the Imam alayhi salam. And you know who these angels are? And Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says these angels were the angels who were with Prophet Nuh in his ark during the flood. They were with Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam when he was cast into the fire. They were with Prophet Musa alayhi salam when he split the sea. They were with Prophet Isa alayhi salam when Allah elevated him. And they were with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi at the Battle of Badr. Allahumma. these greatest angels of God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after the prophets, gave them one assignment only. You sit next to the grave of Al-Imam Al-Hussein and you weep on him. And you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive the visitors of the grave of the Imam. This is the greatness of Abi Abdullah Al-Hussein. You think you know who Imam Al-Hussein is? You think you know the greatness of this man? We have no clue, respected brothers and sisters. Another narration tells us, in addition to these 4,000 special angels, there are 70,000 other angels that surround the grave of Al-Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam, and their job is simply to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah gives the reward of their prayer to Al-Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam. This is the greatness of this man. When you cry, don't think you're crying alone. The whole universe is crying with you. The angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are crying with you. When you cry, realize that you're participating in a universal event. Don't underestimate the power of your tears. The Imam alayhi salam, in one hadith, he tells us, on the day of judgment, every eye shall be crying except the eye that cried for Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. On the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow these eyes to cry. Because by doing so, by crying, you are paying your respect to Fatima alayhi salam. You are paying your respect to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. On the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give those eyes peace and security. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deliver the joy and the happiness to the hearts of those mu'mineen who cried for Abi Abdullah al-Hussein salawatullahi alayhi. And the hadith goes on to tell us that on the day of judgment, those who cried on the Imam alayhi salam, Allah will give them one amazing honor, that they shall go and sit beneath the throne of God, and they will listen to Al-Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam speaking to them. Then the angels will call on them, now it's time, go to paradise, go to your levels. They will not heed, they will not listen, the hadith says, from Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. The Hur al-Ain will come and invite them, come, we have missed you. They will not pay attention to them. They will say, we are busy listening to the beautiful words of Al-Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Yes, our tears need to be coupled with actions. There's no doubt about that. To give value to your tears, you have to practice the teachings of the Imam alayhi salam, but never underestimate the power of your tears. Never underestimate the act of crying on the Imam alayhi salam. Before the battle of Karbala, 57 years before the battle, the Prophet, peace be upon him, according to our Sunni brothers in their books, the Prophet cried 12 times publicly. If the Prophet, peace be upon him, cries on the Imam alayhi salam, why shouldn't we cry on the Imam alayhi salam? We are following the sunnah of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, when we cry for the tragedy of his beloved grandson. Now on such a night, I want to take your hearts to Karbala. Allahu Akbar, on the day of Ashura, Zainab alayhi salam, speaking of thirst, she carries a little child in her arm, taking it to Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. Oh Hussein, please take this child. His mother can no longer feed him. He's withering from thirst. He's dying from thirst. Take him to the other side. Maybe they'll have some mercy on him. Al-Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, he carries that little child, Ali Asghar, in his arms, and he goes to the other side. Picture the scene. He's carrying the little child in his arm, and he says, oh people, if I have a sin, if you want to kill me, then what is the sin of this little child? Have mercy on him. Do you not see how he's withering from thirst? You've killed my brothers, you've killed my companions, and you want to kill me? At least spare this child. Give him some water. The other side, the army of Yazid, they begin to dispute. Some of them said, yes, give him water. Some give no. At that point, Umar ibn Sa'ad, la'natullahi alayh, he looks at Harmala. He tells him, oh Harmala, end this dispute. You know what you have to do? Harmala, he says, I looked at Hussein carrying his infant in his arms, and I saw the whiteness of the neck of the baby. I took out a 3-pronged spear arrow and I shot the baby. I slaughtered him from vein to vein. Aywa Husayna. Hussein, he sees his scene in his arms. His baby begins to struggle. He takes out his arms from the swaddle. The Imam alayhi salam collects the blood. He throws it towards the sky. Oh Allah, hawa nabi ma nazala bi annahu bi'ayn Allah. Oh Allah, give me patience. Oh Allah, give me patience. I cannot take the scene. Allahu Akbar. They slaughtered Ali in al-Azghar in the arms of the Imam alayhi salam. But the biggest tragedy, how can the Imam go back to the woman? What is he going to say to Zainab? What is he going to say to his mother, to Sakina? They sent him to get some water. Now he takes him back slaughtered. The woman, they observed Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam coming back. The tragedy of the killing of Ali in al-Asghar was so heavy on the heart of the Imam, such that they did not recognize the face of al-Imam al-Hussein when he came back. His back was bent and he was hiding something under his cloak. The Imam came, then he went back. Then he came, he went back 7 times. He doesn't know what to do. What is he going to tell them? Finally, they approached him. Hussein, what's wrong? What are you hiding under your cloak? Tell us. The Imam alayhi salam finally gave up. He took out Ali in al-Asghar with a severed head. And he says, take him. They killed him. This is your Ali. They took him to his month, Rabab. Aywa, musibata, yabni. Yabni, ya abdallah, ya ghali. My dear son, my dear son. Ana birbak, sahart al-layali. My dear son, so many sleepless nights. Did I spend raising you? Did I spend with you? يا ابني يا هبتي وعزي ودلالي. You are my treasure, but now I push the cradle and the cradle is empty. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا آل محمد أي منقلب ينقلبون. والعاقبة للمتقين. Everyone together. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر